Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This message is from our gospel, and I'd like to reread a portion of that passage. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other one who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness, his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. This is God's word. There was once a tree, an evergreen, that grew out of the front yard of a certain house. It was really an unremarkable tree. Most people driving by or walking by didn't really notice it. But the owners did. They noticed it because that tree, their tree, was dying. It was rotting from the inside out. And each year that passed, they could see how it looked just a little bit less healthy than it did the year before. The needles tended to fall out much more frequently. There were bare spots where there weren't a year ago. What used to be hidden on the inside started to make its way on the outside. It became visible. And became slowly imperfect, disfigured, maybe some would say even flawed. And for years, the owners attended to the health of this tree. They tried to bring it back to life, and they tried to alter its prognosis, but nothing worked. Its health continued to decline. And so in the end, they resigned to simply caring for it the best they could, comforting it, if you will. They would trim its branches in the spring, and they would decorate it for the holidays, especially Christmas. They would put more Christmas lights on it. And all of that to maybe put a best face on that tree to the world. But it didn't change the simple fact that the tree was dying. How often can we relate to that poor tree? How often do we see ourselves as flawed and disfigured? How often do we find ourselves lacking the emotional or physical or economic health that we expect or even demand from ourselves? We know we should be just a little bit thinner, maybe a little bit wealthier. Maybe we need to save just a little bit more for our retirement. Maybe we need to be just that little bit happier. But, like that disfigured tree, our imperfections are really just visible signs of a problem that's much more terminal. See, deep inside our core is spiritual imperfection, a spiritual flaw. We're not perfect. We're sinful. And we rebel against God. We rebel against His demands for our perfection. His demands for His obedience, or our obedience. And we fight against this relationship with Him. We even fight against the very reality that we are in this state of sickness. And what do we do instead? Instead, we hide it within ourselves. We push it deep so that the world can't see it, so that even we can't see it. And we do that because we don't want to face the diagnosis. We don't want to admit that we're sinful, that we're corrupt. And so we hide it. We hide it from ourselves and we hide it from the world. And we put on our best face and we focus on the things that we can control. We focus on the things that we think will hide our true health. So we lose weight. We make more money. We climb up the ladder and have more power. We find ways of acquiring more authority. We do all of this. We do more than this. But none of it will change the simple fact that we are still sick. We are still terminally ill. So what do we need? Do we need a makeover? Do we need more dressings on the outside? Do we need to make more money? Do we need to, I don't know, be nicer to people? Maybe we need to focus instead not on the outside, but on the inside. Maybe we need more faith. Maybe we need to pray to God to heal us, to make us whole again. Maybe we need to ask God for a makeover. I'll tell you this. I don't need a makeover. It will do me no good. See, I'm so corrupt from the inside out that there is no prognosis. There's no solution except for my death. I deserve nothing more than this. And left to my own devices, that's exactly what I'm going to get. It's exactly what my life will lead me to. So I don't need a makeover. I don't need God to give me one. What I need is for God to kill me. I need God to cut me down like the owners should have done with that tree. I need God to lay me down in the tomb with Jesus and then raise me up with a new life. My sinful self, my sinful life, it can't be saved. I need a new one. And if God doesn't kill me, if God doesn't give me a new life, I will be forever dead. Forever separated from Him. See, I can't simply save myself. I can't simply do anything except continue in my corrupt ways, continue down this corrupt path. So if I am going to be saved, if I am going to be given new life, it will have to come from Him. My life, my salvation will have to come from Him. It will have to come through the death of Jesus, because there is no other way. My sins demand judgment. They demand punishment. My sins accuse me before God, and all I can do is plead guilty. My sentence can only be eternal separation from God. It can only be death. So if I'm to have any hope at all, it will have to come from a substitute. And the substitute will have to be perfect in every way. Have to have no blemish, no imperfection, no sin. And it's going to have to suffer my judgment. And it's going to have to take my punishment. It's going to have to die. And that's what Jesus did. God sent him down to take my place, to take our place, to suffer our judgment. And in perfect obedience, he willingly went to the cross to do that. Gave up his life to save ours. But how can we be assured that the work that Jesus did earned our salvation? Well, we can trust, but can we trust in that hope? On Easter, we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We'll celebrate his sin, his defeat over sin and death. But tonight, what we have is a lifeless body. Tonight, the disciples only had that as well. You see, they had a promise of the resurrection, but they had yet to experience it. But what they did have, even that night, what they had was a hint of that promise. They had yet another example of God keeping every last promise that he made. And they could look at the body of Jesus, and they could see that none of his bones had been broken. And it doesn't sound like much to the world. But to the disciples, it would be a reminder of God's promises. And even if they didn't see that sliver of hope, even if they didn't experience that little bit of comfort at the time, it would still be there when they looked back later. There was another promise that was kept that night. It was a promise so big, it was a promise so encompassing that it meant everything to the disciples, and it means everything to us tonight. See, in the garden after the first sin, God promised a Savior, one that would restore what we had broken. And on that cross, that promise was kept. God did send a Savior. God did send a substitute. And from this substitute flowed blood and water. Living blood and living water. This is what gives us life eternal. This is what saves us. This is what is poured over us in our own baptism. The water that flows from the body of Christ. That water was paid for by the blood that flows alongside it. And in our baptism, we are washed with the water and the blood of Jesus. Our sinful selves are drowned and they're placed alongside him in the tomb. that tree that stood rotting in that yard eventually did get cut down. And in an afternoon, it was felled and then burned because it was good for nothing else. But us, we have hope in our own death. Because Jesus hung from a tree that he suffered what we deserve. We are saved from the fire. And Paul writes that we are buried, therefore, with Christ by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. See, we are buried with Christ, but we don't stay in that tomb. Through the living blood and water of Jesus, we are raised with Him. We become a new creation. So tonight, we look upon the body of Christ, but we also anticipate Easter, when we will celebrate His resurrection and its promise to us. See, we are a new tree. The old is dead and gone, and the new is created. And with it, we have hope in life everlasting. Let us pray. Lord, You were our substitute, our perfect sacrifice. Through You, we have received not only forgiveness, but a new life. Help us to remember our baptism, where our sins were forgiven, and we were given new life in You. In Your name we pray. Amen.